Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Talking Sports on Harbert Avenue. This is Harv Aronson, and this is the wrap-up of the Pittsburgh Steelers' victory last night on Monday Night Football over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 30-27. I expected a much larger margin, and it didn't turn out that way. The Steelers nearly blew a 20-10 lead, 30-10, I should say, at halftime. Tampa Bay came storming back and got within three, but the Steelers held on and won the game 30-27 for their first victory of the season, making their record now 1-1-1. And they will be on national television again this coming Sunday when they host the Baltimore Ravens, who come to town. But in reviewing last night's game, maybe the main thing that was going on in that game that stood out were the number of penalties. The Pittsburgh Steelers were flagged 13 times in that game, and this marks three games in a row where the Steelers have had at least 12 penalty flags, and it's just getting out of control. Mike Tomlin needs to get this team more disciplined. The primary penalties that happened last night were the quarterback hits that were taken, and that was really the record for the last 16 years that was set last night. The most roughing the quarterback penalties in one game since 2001. And so between the two teams, there were five of those calls. And some of them were absolutely ridiculous. If you happen to see the one on Ben Roethlisberger where the arm hit him on the top of the helmet, he went down and should have been given an Oscar award for his performance, but Tampa was flagged for that roughing the passer. And this is not a new rule for the NFL, but it's a little more defined this year where defensive players aren't allowed to use their body weight in tackling the quarterback. And it's kind of impossible to avoid that. And on my website today, I said that if Jack Lambert was still playing in these days, he'd probably be get thrown out of the league. Cause back in 1975, he actually made a quote when speaking with Howard Cosell that when he was talking about protection of quarterbacks, Lambert's response was, maybe they should put skirts on the quarterbacks. But like I said, it was five times this penalty was called on both teams. And aside from just those five, the Pittsburgh Steelers flagged 13 times last night. It just shows that this team is not playing with very much discipline right now. Some of the penalties were uncalled for. They were bad decisions on the Steelers' part. And so this is something the coach needs to get a control of and get it down to where they normally don't have very few penalties. They don't have very many penalties, the Steelers do, but they've had a reputation of keeping penalties down. But this year they are leading the league, actually, in penalties. Through three games, the Steelers have 37 penalties, and that leads the league. Buffalo Bills are behind them in second place, and Buffalo's got 28. As far as penalty yards goes, to go with those 37 penalties, the Steelers have compiled 361 yards in penalties, and that's just not good. So they really need to clean that up, and we'll see if they can improve on cutting down on the penalties when Baltimore comes to town on Sunday in a very key divisional game. Baltimore's 2-1, so this is going to be a good game. As far as that quarterback roughing the passer calls, again, let's go back to that for a second, because since 2009 up until last year, the average of roughing the quarterback calls in a game was about 0.34% around the league. This season, it's jumped all the way up to 0.69%, and 107 were called last year for the entire season among all 32 teams. This year already, there's been 33 roughing the passer calls, so it is out of control. Clay Matthews, as I've said in previous episodes, was upset with this, as he's been called three times. in three games. It's really something that's probably going to be a thorn in the side all season long with defending players, because if you watch them play, I just don't understand how defensive players are able to keep themselves from stopping their momentum when they get into the backfield and are trying to tackle the quarterback. Naturally, their body is going to fall on top of the quarterback with their weight, and that has become a penalty. As far as the game last night, it got off to a terrible start for Tampa, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, as he's being called in Tampa, Fitzmagic, he did have a good game overall last night, but he got off to a very rough start. He threw a pick six. He threw three interceptions in the first half, and it looked like the Steelers were going to cruise in this game. But one of the Achilles heel that we've been talking about on this show is the secondary from Pittsburgh Steelers. It hasn't been very good over the years, and it has not been very good this year. Well, it looked like they were starting to tighten things up in the first half, and I believe, in my opinion, they got tired in the second half. And Ryan Fitzpatrick took advantage of the secondary and brought the team back from 30-10 and nearly won the game. Fitzmagic, as he's being called, as I said, he set an NFL record last night, and it seems like Steelers are always giving up records to opposing teams. But with 400-plus yards passing last night, he has now had three straight, which is a new NFL record. And he's got an entire rest of the season to try to get another one. If he does that, he will tie Dan Marino and Peyton Manning as quarterbacks who have had the most 400-yard games in the season with four. So James Conner continues to be the primary runner for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't get a 100-yard game last night. He did catch a few nice passes. He had a few couple of runs. But what was key with James Conner is that at the end of the game, when the Steelers were trying to ice the game, he got key yardage and first downs that wrapped up the game for the Steelers. So he came through in clutch time. And what I like about James Conner right now is the way he's running. He's running very hard. Let's talk a little bit about Ben Roethlisberger. You think this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day? You better believe he will be. There was a statistic that was shown last night that Ben Roethlisberger, through his first 200 games, has the most wins behind Tom Brady, of course, and Peyton Manning. So that's pretty nice company to have. He's got two Super Bowl rings. He's set just about every passing record for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you can believe that Big Ben will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. This game last night comes on the heels of a very tumultuous week with Antonio Brown having had a blown up on the sidelines last week, being spoken to by both Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin last night. He wasn't the leading receiver, but he did catch a few nice passes, including a touchdown. And one of the receivers last night, who I think was just a really great acquisition for the Steelers, was Ryan Switzer. He also caught a touchdown, and he was our primary kick returner. And while there was only two returns last night, they were both solid by Switzer. He had a kick return for 21 and a punt return for 16. So I believe that the acquisition of Ryan Switzer was huge. And also at tight end, it looks like that Jesse James may have lost his starting job for good as long as Vance McDonald stays healthy. McDonald had a great game last night, including a long touchdown pass where he stiff-armed Fender, shoved him to the ground, and got to the end zone. McDonald looks really good right now. Another player for the Steelers that looked really good last night, Monday Night Football, was Juju Smith-Schuster. And he's proving that his campaign last year and his rookie season was no joke. He had 9 receptions for 116 yards last night to lead the Steelers in receiving yards. And as far as McDonald goes, he was second with 112. So Juju is doing it again. He's a really great weapon to have. And as I said last week after the loss to Kansas City, this problem with the team was not with the offense. The offense is in really good shape. It's the defense that we should worry about in that secondary. Chris Boswell finally made a field goal last night, but then he missed another one on Monday night, and he missed another PTA. So I'm not sure what's going on with Chris Boswell, but he's got to sharpen up his game. Jordan Berry, who got off to a slow start, he had a very good night on Monday night in Tampa, and his average was 45.6 per kick. He had a long of 56, and he pinned the Buccaneers down inside their own 20 twice. In the first week, AFC Defensive Player of the Week was T.J. Watt. He had a great opening game. He's been quiet ever since. We'll have to see what's going on with T.J., but he's not playing as effectively as he was in the first game. I said the defense, I think they got tired. They only sacked three times after he having a terrible first half. I think the defense, as I said, got tired in the second half and allowed them to climb back into this game. It didn't help last night that David DeCastro was out, Marcus Gilbert was out, and Morgan Burnett missed the game. But, you know, the Steelers still performed well on offense, so it's just a good sign when they do come back that it will help the Steelers. A little side note here on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Forbes magazine came out with their wealthiest teams in the NFL. Pittsburgh came in at 15th with a figure of value of $2.585 billion. And last year they were 16th, so they grew by 5% between last year and this year. A few quick notes around the NFL. The Oakland Raiders are winless, as are the Arizona Cardinals. So the Cardinals are going to make a quarterback change, and they're bringing in rookie Josh Rosen, who will make a start in week four, as will Baker Mayfield for the Browns, and he'll be in Oakland. So the Raiders will be trying to win their first game and trying to stop a rookie quarterback. If you think that the NFL owners are not colluding against Colin Kaepernick, think again, because San Francisco has lost Jimmy Garoppolo for the season to an ACL injury. And so taking his place will be C.J. Beathard, and backing him up is going to be Nick Mullins. They're also bringing Tom Savage in for a tryout, Kellen Clemens for a tryout, T.J. Yates for a tryout, no Kaepernick. And their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, says last year there was a discussion about that, but this year there is no talk about bringing back Kaepernick to his original team, and it will be C.J. and Nick Mullins unless these other three guys can win a job on the team. So that just about does the wrap-up for the Pittsburgh Steelers' latest game, a victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road. Gets their first win of the season. There's still tons of work to do for Mike Tomlin and his Pittsburgh Steelers. They need to clean up the penalties, no doubt. They've got a tough Baltimore team coming in. You know how those divisional games go. They're always brutal battles. And so with the Steelers taking on Baltimore Sunday with a victory there, Cincinnati's playing in Atlanta, so hopefully the Falcons can win that game. Cleveland's in Oakland with John Gruden looking for his first fit string of the season. So if those two teams lose and the Steelers can pull off the win against Baltimore, they will be back in first place where they belong. I will be back on Thursday night for another episode of Talking Sports on Harvard Avenue, where we'll be covering everything but football. So until that time, everybody enjoy the week up till that point, and I will talk to everybody on Thursday night.